Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
A great song by Jimi Hendrix. Where'd this come from, Jimmy?
Just wanted to play it.
I love it. More of that, man. Love it. Jimmy's got his Panthers sweater on. Solana, what do you got there? That Inter Miami?
Pink's in action tonight, gentlemen. Let's go Herons.
What do you got there, Crowder? That Kobe?
Kobe.
Guess what I got?
L.L. Bean.
That is an L.L. Bean. You are 100% correct, man.
But I've noticed you switched up the style. You're no longer going quarter zip L.L. Bean. You must have their new spring collection because you have a bunch of hoodies from L.L. Bean now.
I've just been in a hoodie mood lately. Man, so I've got L.L. Bean hoodies and I've got L.L. Bean quarter zips. I've been in a hoodie mood. I was telling you guys off the air last night on Ambien, I bought a Matas Buzelis gray hoodie. Very excited for this to show up. Literally had no recollection of purchasing it till I saw the email this morning. When I tell you no recollection, none. But I got my Matas Buzelis hoodie on the way. I'm very, very excited.
What's the regret for Ambien purchases you have?
I mean, I don't think the and Solana can speak to it because he named his dog Fauci, but my Fauci socks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Regrettable. I don't see that.
It's just not a great idea to buy stuff without remembering. You know, I'm cheap, but I don't really get that concept.
Also, don't name a dog after a controversial figure. Don't get caught up in a pandemic. I could speak to that from experience.
These socks, which I purchased on Ambien in the beginning of COVID.
Yeah, that's tough.
Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Not a bad sock.
You've never wore it. It's still crazy.
Oh, no, I wear these all the time.
Oh, okay.
You'll notice, like, we're at the Panthers on Monday. Half the time I wear these I don't wear long socks very often, but to the Panthers games. Yeah, I usually Dr. Anthony Fauci socks. But that's probably an Ambien regret.
Oh, okay. Because it doesn't seem like a good idea because purchase and don't remember doesn't seem intelligent.
But I have a good governor even when I have no governor. Like, I, you know what I mean? I would never purchase something that was just out of line. You know, I would never spend more than, you know, a hoodie, 40, 50 bucks.
Okay.
And get in on the Matas Buzelis craze before everyone's in on it.
And Solana, do you have a nickname for your dog? Because you don't want to say Fauci in front of people sometimes?
Brother, I live in West Kendall. His nickname is Cheeto to everybody I meet in West Kendall, just in case. Because Cheeto. In my community, every house is just MAGA. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't go around telling them.
Be careful of the dog named Fauci.
Name them after Dr. Fauci.
Cheeto.
Let's have a little cat talk here. Start out the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to talk some NFL draft. I'm watching the draft coverage on ESPN right now. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald is going to join us, and Crowder is there in Green Bay. But let's begin the hour with a little bit of cat talk. Fauci.
Ambien.
Corn dogs.
Weird how that has evolved.
I like how that's evolved, though, right? Yeah, it's better than just saying Panthers every time.
Yeah.
Just like a non sequitur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cat Talk is brought to you by our friends over at Hollywood Kia. Right now, get the start treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia. Shop online, HollywoodKia.com.
Just want this video to go viral with a couple of Faucis up.
I'm with Solana. Don't come to Davey with those Fauci socks on your shoulder.
Be careful.
You're going to get a little pushback.
I took it when the first time I bought these socks, man. I was I was at a Panthers game, and I was sitting across from Sean Thornton, and I was thinking to myself, oh, don't let him see my socks, man. I'm going to drop the gloves. All right, let's do headlines here so we can talk some draft headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
I didn't really give you any sort of cat talk, but tonight, 6:30, Panthers Lightning game 2 up at the Amalie Arena in Tampa.
Doug Plagans will join us in the 4 o'clock hour from Tampa.
Is it still the Amalie Arena?
It is.
They still play there? Okay.
Yep.
Those bums.
We can say that now. We'll wait till after tonight. Up to what we can call them bums.
Oh,
I'll tell you what. If tonight's a cakewalk, holy moly. I mean, you know, tonight, I'm not betting against the Panthers because I don't bet against the Panthers, but I ain't betting a winner for tonight's game. That's the way that I would bet against the Panthers. I just can't imagine these teams so evenly matched where one team is just going to mollywop the other for the entire series. That's hard to imagine.
Let me see. What's the over-under?
Let's see.
5.5 again. So if
I mean,
if I get scared,
you don't expect Vasilevsky to put up that kind of game again, do you?
That's what I'm saying. So that's the thought. So now I get scared because they're scoring a bunch and go over again, and now Vasilevsky looks like himself, and it's a 2-1 game. Now I feel dumb. Do I just keep riding unders, or do I mix and match them? Because now I'm going to lose on both sides.
I just lay off it. The only thing you should be betting constantly and never change is Matt Mervis home runs.
Yeah. I heard Vegas say that.
Oh, thank God they've got a day off today.
I still think you should put the bet in for today. Find a book that'll take it. He's so hot right now, Hawk, even if he's not in a lineup.
I'm going to text Lee Sterling right now, see if he'll book it.
Okay. Also, that's coward's talk. Lay off of it. Crowder, bet the over. Come on. 6-2, game one, let's go. I'll ride with you. Bet the over.
Okay, that's all I needed. Put the bet in.
The Heat, they did lose last night. 121-112 was the final score, so they're down 2-0 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are good.
They are good.
Yeah.
It is hard to argue that. Mm-hmm. They are good. Donovan Mitchell last night. I mean, you watched the end of that game in absolute awe. You know what I mean? Like, they just needed a stop. They kept needing a stop coming back down, and they were playing decent defense. Donovan Mitchell was unconscious. That was wild, man.
And we talked to Coach L about it, but if you watch the Nuggets game, they double-team Joker and leave Westbrook wide open in the corner. They're just saying Westbrook can't shoot threes. And he'll hit some sometimes. Like when Donovan Mitchell started going off, just put two guys on him and pick the guy you want to beat you. Hey, go stand there. Do something.
Dude could have been hitting them backwards blindfolded. He was in that zone last night, man.
Blitz him. Coach said that. That's why I just stole that. You got to blitz him.
Yeah, he blitzed the ball handler. The problem is that the Cleveland Cavaliers had hit 22 triples in the game. So you blitz the ball handler. Guess what? Ty Jerome's waiting in the corner to drill a wide-open three. Max Strus. Yeah.
And the big guys are going to be under the rim just to dunk it easily.
Strus was loose.
Well, that's why I don't coach.
Well, sometimes you just – there's a team that's better than the other team. I mean – I don't think there's any shame in how many wins did the Cavs have this season?
64, yeah. 65?
I mean,
hey, they're the one seed for a reason.
For a reason.
And we snuck into 8.
Look, I'm not saying the series is over because anything can happen. But all this talk about, well, at least we got Cleveland, not Boston, and all this talk about, hey, it's Boston until they get knocked off, that's fair. But Cleveland's legit, man. Like, you're watching it. They have the superstar in Donovan Mitchell. They have two other elite players in Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. And they're just built properly with two bigs, really good depth, and a bunch of shooters everywhere. If you had to build a team to go up against Boston and their style of play, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. They can hit 22 threes in a game, but they can also give the ball to their best player who's going to go get a bucket whenever he wants to.
You guys want to guess what the line is Saturday, 1 p.m. in Miami?
Oh, they're still dogs. 7.5 dogs?
Yeah, Heat plus 6.
Plus 6.
I'll lay those points, honestly. They beat them by 20 and what, 20 and 13? 6 doesn't seem that hard.
No, they beat them by, it was 9 yesterday. It was 9. The Heat covered.
Yeah, because they covered. Remember they covered?
Yeah, 120, they covered.
121 to 112. I don't know, man. Here's my feeling. The Heat won every hustle category that they needed to win, right? The Cavs just shot the lights out. Series shifts to Miami. Are they going to shoot that well on the road? Are they going to go 40% while attempting 45 threes in a game, Cleveland? Maybe. I mean, they did it all season long. I guess, why not? But if they don't, you saw what happens when they go cold in the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, when the Heat go on that run.
Something about being home, too, and having the lineage that the Heat do. And I just, like I said last night, they didn't roll over.
No.
Like, they gave them everything. I think they gave them a lot more than Cleveland was expecting.
They smelled blood in the water. They had him. 2-point game. They had him.
Shedeur Sanders. I don't know what he said. Shedeur Sanders has just tweeted out, "I'm built for whatever today may bring."
Yeah. Oh, he can drop. We're watching the same thing. I think he's going to drop. I don't think he might not be in the top 10, but he's going to start at quarterback next year, and he's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Is he going to start next year? I mean, it depends where he ends up. If he ends up in Pittsburgh, then he might start.
All right, guys, your NBA schedule for tonight starts off with the Knicks. They're in Detroit. Big game 3 in the Motor City. Grizzlies host the Thunder, game 3, OKC.
So the Heat smelled
2-0.
Blood while they were losing on the road?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Smelled blood in the water, Hawk. They brought it all the way down to 2 from a 19-point deficit to a 2-point deficit, and they smelled blood. They were right there.
But usually if you smell blood, you're going in for the kill.
That's the phrase.
Donovan Mitchell happened.
So he smelled
but
more
they were,
blood.
They weren't even winning. How could they?
He smelled more
they
blood.
They were blood.
So they just smelled the blood, but nothing to eat.
Well, they smelled
blood. They smelled their own blood. And it's exactly what happened.
They smelled blood to get to within 2, but then Donovan Mitchell, you know, he smelled a lot more blood.
He really smelled blood.
Okay. No, we're using this right.
Nuggets Clippers, it'll be at 10 p.m. series tied at 1 apiece as well. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. Tonight, the lows are going to drop into the 70s. That is your weather.
You want to give away these Marlins tickets before we move on?
Yes.
All right. Let's give away a pair of, actually a 4-pack of Marlins tickets. And if you don't win them today, you will have one final chance tomorrow. Marlins and A's. It is Star Wars Day at the Lone Depot Park because it's May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. So we have 4 tickets, Marlins A's for caller number.
Number's Jovich since he's the savior 5 of the team.
Caller 5 for Jovich. He smelled blood in the water on his 2 air balls and his errant pass. He saw blood in his urine.
Blood in his eyes.
Did you use that on the postgame show with Tommy? Did you say they smelled blood in the water when they were down 12? Tommy thought you can't get out of your bed. At what point? At what point when the Heat were losing last night did you look at Tommy Dyke and say, Heat smell blood in the water? Tommy just packs up his stuff
and walks out.
It's the LeBron meme with the briefcase.
Yes, 100%. Oh. And just gets into his car, drives right into a tree.
Walks out and jumps into the bay.
No, but seriously, I have the Heat in six. I have the Heat in six. No joke. Seriously.
Right, well, the Heat smell blood in the water right now down 0-2. How could you not?
Does Tommy Caller ever five. Ignore you? You say something and Tommy just acts like you didn't speak.
Yeah, 100%. Funny. All right, caller five gets the Marlins tickets. Caller five, 305-567-0560. 305-567-0560. Caller five gets the Marlins tickets. We will talk a little NFL draft and Miami Dolphins with Omar Kelly of the Miami Herald in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Poo-poo and Endoro. Pee-pee and Endoro.
Hawk and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Omar Kelly, he is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. And you can follow Omar on Twitter as well for all your Dolphins news. Crowder is in Green Bay. We've got boots on the ground in Green Bay. Omar, I'm sure, will be at the Dolphins draft party tonight. Is it possible, Omar, that the Dolphins don't take a lineman or a corner with their first pick tonight?
It's absolutely possible. What I'm interesting about this draft is that it's a bizarro draft. You remember the Seinfeld bizarro episodes? This is the bizarro draft of what Chris Greer usually does, which is he addresses every need with some kind of minimum player in free agency, setting themselves up so that there aren't glaring needs on the roster on the board. Right now, they've got probably two NFL defensive linemen. They need nine. Right now, Liam Eichenberg is your starting left guard or right guard, which is a shameful embarrassment if you walk out of the draft and Liam Eichenberg is still your starting guard. Right now, they don't have any starting cornerbacks. They've got a nickel in Kader Kohou. I don't think anybody expects Cam Smith to be anything special. And then you've got basically a roster of undrafted players at cornerback. You can't win with that. They know. And to know that they're – I understand why they're doing this, because they have to go young and cheaper. Crowder, you know, when you got a rookie contract, he young, cheap labor. Young, yep. Cheap, stupid. That's what they want. They want roster full of young, cheap, and stupid. And you have to build through the draft – but they just basically ignored that for the last 3 years and started spending money and buying players. And then now it's an about face and like, oh, damn, we suck. Let's build through the draft.
Ain't got no more money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, well, you speak out the corner, man. Like it was a curveball to me. And I know it was a curveball to the organization with Jalen Ramsey wanting to leave. I know he's not what he was 5 years ago, but he's still a top corner in this league. So yeah. They said it's a mutual decision.
Mutual party of ways.
What happened there, and did that really set them back? Because now you lose your starting safety and your starting corner.
I mean, he's clearly – what's very interesting about what's going on with the Miami Dolphins is both their star players want to get out, are on the market. obviously they know there's no market for Tariq. You're not going to get any kind of adequate or fair value for him. And the truth be told, you're not going to get any adequate or fair value for Jalen Ramsey. And in fact, you can't trade him during the draft unless you do a hypothetical trade where you throw somebody Channing Tindall for a third round pick, and then later you trade Jalen Ramsey for a seventh, you know, on June 1st, 7th in 2026, on June 1st, because if you trade him now, you're going to be taking an $8.8 million cap hit. Whereas if you trade him after June 1st, you'll be gaining $9 million in cap space. That $8.8 million is probably the equivalent of maybe four free agents that can actually help your team now. So would you trade Jalen Ramsey, get rid of your best talented defensive player, lose the ability to add four veteran players for $2 million, $3 million, the Emmanuel Ogbas of the league? How does that make any sense to trade him now? And unless you just want to get rid of
headaches, even if it's just a headache for a couple of months. Like here's the thing that's going on with the Dolphins, because I'm a big believer in the roster. I'm a bigger believer in the roster than anyone on this show and probably anyone we've spoken to. I think that they're very close to being a very good playoff team. I think things went poorly. But the alarm bells start going off when you lose Javon and Teron Armstead and Calais Campbell and Mostert Leadership. And Nick Needham and Jalen Ramsey wants out, and there's all the stuff surrounding Tyreek Hill. The alarm bells start going off. So I just wonder where you think they are. Are they keeping a brave face on something that is becoming untenable?
They're keeping a brave face on acknowledging that we made mistakes in the past and we have to fix it. And we screwed up. We got to fix it. Because you gave Jalen Ramsey a new contract last year. So how all of a sudden do you say, wait a minute. This isn't working out for us. And let's not act like Jalen Ramsey is second best number one player on your team. Whatever reason you want to figure out, it's a mutual parting of the ways, but I understand it. Jalen don't want to be here. He doesn't believe in what's going on here. And there are a lot of players like that, but you have to track. Crowder knows you got to get younger. You got to get cheaper. You got to get guys who buy into you helping them get paid. Right now, Jalen Ramsey don't believe you're going to help him get paid. He doesn't believe you're going to help him get to the Hall of Fame. So he wants out.
Well, I mean, the two biggest ones that jump out at me are Calais Campbell and Jalen Ramsey, who could play here if they wanted to. Both of them have been in the league for a long time, and both of them want to be elsewhere.
I don't know the details on Calais. If I'm Calais, I'm trying to latch myself to an organization that I'm going to be part of for the next 5 to 10 years, whether it's front office, scout, coaching, whatever. Calais and Arizona – is probably that situation. He wants to live. He wants his family to live somewhere and grow up there. They've always had a home in Arizona. They have a home in Miami. You know, Calais played 17 years. Calais has more experience than his coaches. His position coach, he's played in the league longer than his position coach has been actually coaching. Like, so Calais is different. And he probably just didn't. One, their offer was like the third biggest offer on the table for him. And Calais is another subject. Teron, the knee just wasn't going to hold up anymore. But is there an exodus of leadership? Absolutely. Is there exodus of players who believe in Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer and what the organization is doing? Absolutely. But you know how you change that? You get young players who buy in and you win.
And Hawk brought up the leadership thing. We said it three times already. This whole leadership narrative, young, cheap, and dumb is not leadership. That's the guys that need leaders.
Correct.
When Chris Greer was asked about it, he said Alec Ingold and Zach Sealer. Oh, like you're around the team.
Yeah.
Who in that locker room can stand up and say, hey, and everybody's going to get quiet and want to listen to what they have to say? I had Truck, Kevin Carter, JT, Zach, Chad Pennington. Yeah. When they spoke, people listened.
Yeah.
When Alec Ingold gets up, everybody stops what they're doing?
No. And Tua's name was left off, which was quite unique. That was a little unique. I hope it was an accident, because Tua does have command, Tua has command of his team and command of his unit. Does he have command of the defense? And Crowder, you've been here all these years. You know, sometimes the defense, they hate the offense, they hate the quarterback. It's just,
it's just different.
Yeah, it's just the way that football works. Tyreek has work to do to get back to a leadership presence. But Jordan Brooks has to step up as a leader. Zach Sealer has to step up as a leader. I can't really name anybody else because that's really what I got.
And it's
Devon Achane. That's what I got.
Yeah, and it's not just about production. It's about having that respect. And that's what leadership is, the guys respect you. And that's when people speak about it. I'm like, who has the respect of people?
See, but you know what? You know, Crowder, what's interesting is I bought into what Mike McDaniel was doing last year in terms of player empowerment, putting people in positions of power so that they can, you know, they can lead the team. And then all those leaders basically kind of betrayed you or let you down. And or now having a mutiny, like it's like the devil you do, the devil you don't. I don't really know what to think about that situation because, you know, Jordan Poyer let you down. Jalen Ramsey let you down. Javon Holland let you down, you know, and you really had to lean on just Calais and Teron, and it just wasn't what you needed last year. So I think there is an about face being done on that player empowerment movement. And that's why you got to go with young and hungry and driven guys and say, hey, you want to make a name for yourself? Here's your opportunity. Go do it. You know, even the safety situation, two unproven fringe starters. You come here, you get opportunity to showcase yourself. And if it's your job, then this is also your defense. And does that work? I don't know.
Omar, help me understand, though. Bottom line. What is the directive of Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel this season? Is this all or nothing season? Is this do or die season? And it's not just make the playoffs, it's go contend for a Super Bowl, and if not, status quo is the same season? Or is it how it's kind of being painted, which is, hey, we're trying to set this team up for the future with our draft picks this year, and we're trying to make the right money decisions and being frugal in free agency to not set the team back for the future? Because if that is what it is, the latter, then why in the world keep this regime around? I can't wrap my head around it if it's basically keep the team from falling apart for another season so we can usher in a new directive. Like, why not just start now?
You don't start now because of Steve Ross's history of hiring. And I've written a column in the Miami Herald about this. If you think back at all his hiring experiences and opportunities, even Mike McDaniel, you get caught tampering with Sean Payton. They have been traumatic, painful, embarrassing situations, from the Harbaugh pursuit that led to Ireland and Sperano's not talking to each other for a full year, to you hire Hickey and then you realize he's not qualified. You bring in Mike Tannenbaum as a consultant. Mike shanks Hickey in the side and takes his job and takes the power and then fires Hickey and puts Greer in place. You go to Brian Flores' situation, how horrible that turned out. You talk about Joe Philbin. Goodness gracious, I never met a man not more. Well, Cam Cameron was probably worse. I got to acknowledge
way
that.
Worse.
Yeah,
way worse.
Cam Cameron was probably worse. But there have been so many traumatic, horrible hiring experiences. And if you look at it from Steve Ross's standpoint, he would like to avoid that. But also, last year fell apart for very clear and apparent reasons. Our quarterback got hurt. We put together a poo-poo offensive line. And we didn't have quality backups. If you had Tua available for half of the six and a half games he missed, you're probably a 10-win team. You're probably in the playoffs. Not to say that's not the status quo, because you probably would have lost in the first round, but it wouldn't be this doom and gloom situation where they are now. But was the way they were doing business sustainable, healthy, leading to a fit and not flabby franchise? It wasn't. You can't keep F them picks and signing, you know, the thing that they would do is George Kittle right now, if he doesn't get a new deal, he might be shopped in this draft. And what the Dolphins would do is like, oh, George Kittle on the market? We give you pick number 48 for George Kittle, then we'd have to give him the biggest contract in the NFL. That's the way they've done business. And that is not healthy or sustainable long term, because you don't have that young, cheap labor. And you need that young, cheap labor to create a balanced roster. You look at this roster, it's the heavy hitters, and then it's the rookies on the rookie salaries, and then it's 30-year-old injured players. And that's just no way. And then you wonder why you fall apart in December.
The draft is tonight. So obviously Cam Ward goes number one. And then what do you have happening? And who do you have the Dolphins taking at 13?
I think the two linchpins of the draft is Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State. How high will he go? Where will he go? That will kind of dictate what's available to the Dolphins. And I just wrote a story in the Miami Herald. The Dolphins have let every team in the NFL know you have a willing trade partner if you'd like to move up to 13. If something you see is there and available, because we'd like to move down and pick up another second-round pick. So that's out there. So you know the Dolphins want to trade down. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be the other storyline in the draft. Where does he go? I think he's going to go to Pittsburgh at where they are, I believe, 22. Pittsburgh is a very bold, daring organization. And while everybody in the world knows they need quarterback, they're basically like, we're going to sit right here and we're going to wait for him. And he's going to fall to us. And that's just the way Mike Tomlin rolls. And if he don't fall to us, we'll be all right. We got Skylar Thompson on the roster. We'll turn Skylar Thompson into a respectable NFL player. Skylar, yeah. But that's the way the Steelers roll. So it'll be interesting to see if a team moves up ahead of the Steelers. If New Orleans doesn't take Shedeur, he's going to slide into the 20s. Maybe the Dolphins find a trade partner, somebody interested or willing to move up to get him. And in terms of the Dolphins, I wrote a column in today's Miami Herald. We done played chicken and Russian roulette with this offensive line long, so many times, going back to when Crowder was playing. And my biggest issue about this draft is there are 10 offensive linemen that everybody universally views are going to be ready day one starters. You need a day one starter. If you do not get that player at 13 or trading down and get him in the first round, by the time you get back on the board at 48, it's going to be nothing there for you. And so you're going to be stuck with either Liam Eichenberg as a starter, or what happened to you when you had to trade a future third round pick to move up 8 spots and lose basically the equivalent of 2 third round picks to select you Liam Eichenberg. So to select what's the best of what's left over. So my advice to the Dolphins is, let's not play Russian roulette with this offensive line anymore. Let's go take one at 13 or at 20. And then figure out the rest of our draft, because we can't keep playing like this. We can't keep doing this.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I want to stay at 13. Trading back so dumb. There, you can't find a 13th guy and out of 300 people to help your team. It's crazy. 10 picks he has. What, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1?
Here's why everybody's intrigued about trading down. Because from this draft, player number 20 and player number 70, they're virtually the same player. So you want more of that crop of talent, as opposed to, like, there are probably 10 elite players in this draft. And unless one of them, like Mason Graham, falls to you, you would much rather go to 20, pick up an extra one of them second round picks or second day picks, so that you can get four good players that can help you. Because They got holes everywhere. They got holes everywhere on this roster.
And what's that number? If it's 10 or 11 picks, what's the number that Chris Greer, his percentage he has to hit on in this draft to be decent?
Chris Greer has to walk away from this draft with 4 rookie starters, which to me just sounds just ridiculous. A good draft is 3 rookie starters, 3 eventual starters, like a Channing, 3, you know, 3 Channing Crowders.
We had Ronnie, me, Matt Ross, and Travis Daniels.
Yeah, but Travis, come on, Travis, come on, Travis, come on, come on now, Crowder.
Travis can play.
I mean, come on now. And so it was like 3.5. Yeah, you know, when you play a spade, I had 3 of the possible. And Rob was really a possible too. So, you know, but yeah, if you walk away with a Channing Crowder-esque draft, you'll be good. You really will be good. But you should have went Aaron Rodgers that year. Just history.
I wouldn't argue that either. I love Ronnie B. Now I love Ronnie B.
I know that's your boy, but Hall of Famer Ronnie Brown, Hall of Famer.
Omar Kelly tweeted out, it was about a week or 2 weeks ago, was maybe 10 or 11 at night, and he tweeted out that he wanted to go get a Slurpee, late night Slurpee run, and how do people feel about this? And that's my wheelhouse, because I haven't had a Slurpee in a long time. Since my son's gone to college, all the fun late night runs... It feels more
your
hollow.
Your wife won't let you be irresponsible on the behalf of your children.
So did you end up going for a late night Slurpee?
I did end up going for a late night Slurpee.
It's a pleasure, isn't it?
I hate late night food craving. I'm one of those people where I can't, if I'm craving something, I can't not have it because then I can't sleep.
Obsess over it.
Yeah, I just obsess over it. So I tweeted that and I was just like, man, I really shouldn't. But for 45 minutes straight, I kept thinking about a Slurpee and I'm just like, you know what? Screw it.
What flavor did you get?
Oh, I'm a pina colada guy. I'm a pina colada Slurpee guy.
Do they have those?
I can do the blue raspberry. I can.
Did you end up at Fat Tuesday? You're talking about adult Slurpees?
Yeah. No. I'm a 7-Eleven pina colada Slurpee guy. They be changing flavors all the time. But pina colada, that's been a staple for 20 years, sir.
It has? Where? At 7-Eleven?
How does your 7-Eleven not have a pina colada? See, that's your Wawa. That's your Wawa.
I have never heard of someone's go-to slur. I thought I was asking cherry or Coke. I literally thought those were the only two
Slurpee. We talking 7-Eleven. We talking the elevated Slurpee.
Pina colada?
I mean, I have seven options. I'm taking pina colada. Like, ain't nothing wrong with pina colada. That's my flavor, man. It got a little kick to it. I like it. You can put some tequila in it, and you can make it a real pina colada.
I've never heard of such a thing. I mean, that's the Eric Kumaro pick right there. That was something that nobody saw coming.
I stand on this. There will be more people saying pina colada Slurpees are the way to go. You can do cherry. You can do blue raspberry. I don't like people who do Coke Slurpees. I'm sorry. I'm
going to stop at a 7-Eleven tonight and see if they have pina colada. I didn't know that was available year-round. I didn't know it was available, period. I didn't know.
It's like Hawaii,
you would take that over Hawaiian Punch?
I've never seen Hawaiian Punch. Burger King,
you know, BK has a frozen Hawaiian Punch.
And good. They got blue raspberry. Yeah, but it's not, BK is not, it's an icy. It's not a Slurpee.
Right.
Even the concept is the same, but it don't taste the same.
I agree. Slurpee is unique unto itself.
Slurpee, there's icies and McDonald's doesn't have Slurpees, icies.
Jimmy is saying that McDonald's has the frozen Hawaiian Punch.
You know what? That is what she was offering me yesterday. Damn, I should have jumped on that. I went to McDonald's and I was like, y'all don't have ices, do you? And she said, no, we have a Hawaiian Punch. And I was just like, that's not what I asked you for.
Yeah,
but you might have been saying,
really good.
I have a Hawaiian Punch flavor icy. Damn, yeah, I missed that.
Now, when you went for the late night Slurpee, this is how I judge people. You went for the late night Slurpee. Did you get any scratch offs?
No. I have a scratch off.
What are you doing? You're at 7-Eleven late at night and you're not getting scratch offs? I mean, what are we even doing here?
I have scratch offs in my house that I have not scratched. So when I'm feeling lucky, I scratch a scratch off.
I do that. I love that. That's how I show myself that I have willpower.
Do you know they expire?
I buy no.
Yes, they do. They expire.
I buy scratch offs. And then I'll let them sit there for a few days. I'll just look at them. I'm in control of you, scratch off. You're not in control of me. Crowder scratches them in the car.
I scratch the barcode and just see if I won. I don't even look at the
worst. That is the worst way to play lottery tickets.
You taking all the fun out of it, Crowder.
All the fun.
The fun is when that machine says ding, ding, ding. That's the fun.
Man, pina colada Slurpee. How about that? I thought there would be no draft day surprises. We got one.
I'm a pina colada. If you do a draft day Slurpee flavor, I'm pina colada is my Cam Ward. I'm standing on it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'll be the judge of this. We'll have you on next week. We'll talk about it. Omar Kelly, read his work in the Miami Herald. Thanks, Omar.
I guess.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Thank you, as always, Jax.
Stay black.
All right.
Hawk and Crowder.